On a notice board in a factory was this notice. In case of accident or injury, notify your supervisor immediately. I guess you see them often in the workplace. In case of accident or injury, notify your supervisor immediately. And someone had taken a pen and graffitied underneath these words: he'll kiss it and make it better. Now, wouldn't it be great if life was that easy? We know with little kids, they fall over, you give them a kiss, you put the magic sponge on them, and hey presto, everything's rosy again in the garden. But in life, it's not that simple. How do you react when trouble comes? Someone has said this: some grumble, some gripe, some groan, some grieve, some growl, and some grow. Let me give you that again. When troubles, when problems, when difficulties come in your life, some grumble, some gripe, some groan, some grieve, some growl, some grow. See, troubles always have one or two effects on people. It leaves them bitter or it leaves them better. Troubles leave people bitter or it leaves them better. Billy and Frank Wilcox were missionaries out in Pakistan, serving Jesus in Pakistan. They had a 6-month-old baby, and very sadly, tragedy struck and the baby died. And an old Indian man came along to see them, and he said this: a tragedy like you've experienced is similar to being plunged into boiling water. Well, it is a painful experience. I can't think of anything worse than to lose a child. He went on to say this: if you are an egg, your affliction will make you hard-boiled and unresponsive. If you are a potato, you will emerge soft and pliable, resilient and adaptable. And Bill writes these words: it may sound funny to God, but there have been many times I have prayed, "Oh Lord, make me a potato. Oh Lord, make me a potato." Some grumble, some gripe, some groan, some grieve, some growl, some grow. The Apostle Paul says for the Christian, we can grow spiritually and we can grow strong and better through our circumstances. They don't have to quash us. We can actually grow through circumstances. God's not going to take them away. Every person on planet Earth experiences trouble. It's part of living in a world gone wrong. A fallen world, the Bible says. A sinful world. A world that's rejected God. When the very first people turned their back on him, things started to go wrong. But you don't have to be quashed by circumstances. You can grow strong through circumstances. I don't know if you saw this photo on Facebook this week. Cheers, miss. I thought that was brilliant. If you can't see it, there's a pickup lorry and there are two portable toilets, we assume full, going under a very low bridge, and the toilets are not going to make it. But just behind the pickup lorry is a guy in a brand new sports car. And we all know what's going to happen. Do you ever have days like that? Some of you are thinking, days? I have weeks. I have months. I have years like that. How'd you handle it? How'd you handle it? Scott Peck wrote a famous book called The Road Less Travelled. And the first three words in that book are this: life is difficult. Life is difficult. Now, the Apostle Paul, in this old letter, with a modern day postmark, says, yeah, life is difficult. But he doesn't stop there. He says, life is difficult, but hey, you can overcome those difficulties. You can work through them. There is a God who will strengthen you, who will encourage you, who will be with you in the difficult, in the dark times. And in this letter, he talks about exactly where life is difficult. In relationships. Do you ever struggle with other people? It's everyone else but me, isn't it? If you struggle in relationships, this letter's for you. Because he talks about dealing with other people who are awkward and annoying and problem causers. He talks about when your competence is questioned. Do you ever get criticised? Do you ever get people sort of disapproving of what you do or how you are and how you look and how you dress? Always finding fault? Hey, this letter's for you. Because it deals with that. It talks about health. What happens when your health goes? What happens when your security is threatened? How do you deal with it? Hey, this letter gives you good advice, and it is more than just advice. It is solid, good stuff. You know, when the Americans and the Russians sent their astronauts and their cosmonauts up into space, they had a problem. Because if they were going to write, you cannot write with a ballpoint pen in zero gravity. It doesn't work. So they needed to write in zero gravity, upside down, on a variety of surfaces. The Americans spent $12 billion inventing a pen that would work in zero gravity on all types of surfaces. Do you know what the Russians did? They sent the cosmonauts up with pencils. Simple solutions to difficult problems. Now, these are not just simplistic answers that the apostle gives us. Some of it is tough to apply. But if you apply, it works. If you apply it, it works. Now, when I read the Bible passage, there was one word that should have jumped out. And whenever the Bible uses a word and repeats it, repetition, it's emphasising, it's kind of underlining, it's highlighting it so you don't miss it. Now, I hope you didn't miss it. 7 times one word is mentioned in verses 3 to 11. It's the word comfort. Comfort. Not the washing up liquid or the softener, Scott, all right? Comfort. And then it's used in another variation 3 times. So you've got 10 times in one form or another that word comfort. And it says God will not take your problems away, but he does provide comfort in times of difficulty. And this morning we're not going to go into all the background of the letter and who wrote it and why. We may look at that next week, but as it's a slightly different occasion, I just want to pull out 3 threads for us this morning. Number one, cheers Moose, flick on 2 if you can. Number one, remember what God is to you. That's what the writer says to these people. Remember what God is to you. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our trouble. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian. She was around during the Second World War. And she was a kind of, if you've seen the film Schindler's List, she was that character. Not a man in a factory, but her family had a watch shop in Holland. But they kept Jewish people, and they hid them so they wouldn't be taken to concentration camps. It's an incredible story. I think the DVD, The Hiding Place, is in the hallway if you want to borrow it. And Corrie ten Boom, eventually her family was captured, and she and her sister Betsy were sent to a concentration camp. And before her very eyes, she watched her own sister die. And years later, she wrote these words, not in the book The Hiding Place, but when she was giving a sermon. And she said this: I've often heard people say how good God is. We prayed that it wouldn't rain for our church picnic, and it didn't rain. Isn't God good? Yes, God is good when he sends good weather. But God was also good when he allowed my sister Betsy to starve to death before my very eyes in a German concentration camp. I remember on one occasion I was very discouraged there. Everything was dark, and there was darkness in my heart. I remember telling Betsy, God has forgotten us. No, Corrie, said Betsy, he has not forgotten us. Remember his word. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love to those who fear him. And Corrie concludes, there is an ocean of God's love available. There is plenty for everyone. May God grant you never to doubt that victorious love, whatever the circumstances. Corrie discovered a God of compassion. He didn't take her out of the prison camp there and then. But when she felt he was distant, she had a new experience of God being with her in that situation. And like I say, that word compassion is used 10 times. And it literally means called alongside to strengthen. Called alongside to strengthen. Our English word compassion is made up of 2 Latin words. It means with strength. Whenever you say, I have compassion, you're going along to strengthen someone. And the Bible says God is a God who comes alongside to strengthen. I guess in life you've got a choice. You handle it yourself or you involve God. You handle it yourself, in your own wisdom, in your own strength, or you involve God. We sang that hymn, didn't we? The Lord is my shepherd. Do you know, if ever you read Psalm 23, you take out the God bits, this is how it sounds. Verse 1, my, I shall be in want. Verse 2, me, me. Verse 3, my soul, me. Verse 4, I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I fear, me, me. Verse 5, me in the presence. That's all you've got when God's not in the equation, me. But when you bring God in it, the psalmist says, the Lord is what? Hey, he's with me. He's with me. He's my shepherd. He's guiding me. He's comforting me. He's leading me. And when life isn't going well, verse 5, even in the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear. Why? Because he is with me. And you've got a choice. You can live life independent of God, or you've got yourself, or you can involve God, a God of comfort. Secondly, he says, remember what God is to you. Secondly, Mitch, wake up, mate. Change his batteries after this. Thanks, mate. Remember how God uses you. That's what he says. Remember, if anyone comes back next week, I think I've insulted most of you, haven't I? My apologies. I love you all, honest. Remember how God uses you, verses 4 to 7. British Rail has been on the news this week, hasn't it? Let me give you a quick railway illustration. Someone has said you can be a Euston or a crew. You can be a Euston or a crew. If you get on the train and you go to Euston, you don't go any further. It is a terminus. The train stops at Euston. There's one way in and there's just one way out. So you don't go anywhere, you stay. When you get to crew, you can go at crew, you can change. You go north, you go south, you go east, you can go west. And someone has said you can be a crew or a Euston in life. You can say, hey, this is what I've experienced. This is what life has taught me. This is my experience and it's all mine. Or you can say, Lord, you've taught me this so that I can help so-and-so. You've taught me this so I can be next to so-and-so. You use your experience to bless others. And that's what these verses say in verses 4 to 7. Because I tell you one thing that unites everyone in this room. We all know what it feels like to hurt. And if you haven't been hurt yet, it's coming. It's coming. People will break your heart. Circumstances won't always be favourable. When your health goes, when financial problems come, how are you going to deal with it? Hey, Paul says, God will use his people to draw alongside and share their experience and to comfort and to help. That doesn't mean you can only talk to people who have had the same experience of you, because he says in verse 4, we comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we receive from ourselves. We simply say, look, this is my experience, this is what the Lord has done for me. This is how he helps me day by day. And if you were to trust him, you too could know that same living God. Tired of reading bedtime stories, one teenager got tired of reading bedtime stories to his little sister, even for his pocket money. So he had the bright idea, I know, I'll record it on the MP3 player. And then whenever she wants a story, she presses the button and hey presto, she's got a story and I can do something more interesting. When he gave the MP3 to his sister, she started to cry. He said, well, what's the problem? She said, it hasn't got a lap. Hasn't got a lap. You've got all the information, but I want to sit. I want to cuddle. I want connection. And do you know what? God didn't give us a book full of Bible verses. Here you are, look. There's the information. He gave us people with skin on, other Christians, a family, to support and to encourage and to comfort one another. So the apostle says, remember what God's done for you. Remember, God will use you. Maggie, God's got a plan for your life. He's going to use you. Abby's got a plan for your life. He's going to use you. Nathan, he's even got a plan for you. We don't know what the plan is, but God will use you and your experience to bless others. And then third and finally, thanks Moose, he says, remember what God does for you. Remember what God does for you. We don't need to be uninformed, he says. We all experience troubles, but we're going to learn from those troubles. He says, you know what, in verse 8, he says, we despaired of life itself. He says, humanly speaking, it was as if we were going to die. Everything conspired against us. But then he kind of focused in on a life from God's perspective. And he stopped moaning and feeling sorry for himself. Because some grumble, some gripe, some groan, some grieve, some growl. He was determined to grow through his experiences. And rather than losing his faith when life got tough, the Apostle Paul strengthened his faith. See, someone said, if you take a clay pot and you leave it in the sun, all it's ever going to be is a clay pot. But you put it in the furnace and it becomes porcelain. Now, do you want to be a clay pot or a piece of porcelain? One's worthless, one's valuable. And Paul says, hey, we went through the furnace of life. It looked like our lives were going to be taken from us. We wish we could die in one sense. But actually, we came through that and we came out better, more valuable. Just as we finish, Maggie's chosen our closing hymn. And it's called, I don't think they're killing anyone out there. I'm sure they are. Let me out! Maggie's chosen our last hymn. And I was surprised by the choice, but it's a good one. And when we sing it, it's going to be What a Friend We Have in Jesus. But there's a man who didn't stay a clay pot, it became a piece of porcelain. Because he went through the furnace. It was written by a man called Joseph Scriven. Joseph Scriven. When he was 25 years old, he fell in love. Trouble is, just before his marriage, his fiancée died. Well, he was devastated. He decided to emigrate from Ireland to Canada. Brand new start, brand new life. While in Canada, he met another lady, Eliza Roche. He got engaged. And tragedy struck again. Before the wedding could take place, she died. I know what you're thinking, ladies. Keep away from him. Don't get engaged to him. He's not a bad luck charm. Some folks seem to have... Shakespeare said, sorrows come not as single spies, but whole battalions. And some folks seem to have a million problems, while others don't seem to have any. And Joseph Scriven seemed to have a million problems. He never married, became a preacher in churches like this. And he was known for having a chainsaw and going around and cutting wood for the poor and the elderly. But he wrote poems. And one of the poems he wrote was called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And when his mother fell ill in Ireland, he couldn't afford to go back home. So he sent her a letter containing the poem What a Friend We Have in Jesus. He wrote it for his mum. And years later, when he was dying, a friend came and said, what are all those pieces of paper on your bureau? He said, they're my poems. And the friend said, can I have a read of them? These are good. You ought to get these published. And so they published them in a book. And then 30 years later, Charles Converse came along and put music to it. And so when we sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus, it's not nice tweet, is it? Tweet's the word? What's the word I want? Tweet, twaint?
Tweet.
Tweet, thank you, Naomi. It's not tweet poetry. Hey, this comes out of the heartache of grief. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sorrows. And how could he handle it? Because he had a saviour. He had a saviour. And he goes on to say, doesn't he? All our sins and griefs to bear. He had a God of comfort who was with him in the furnace of affliction. Let's pray and then we'll conclude with that final hymn. Lord, thank you that you meet us where we're at. You're not a God who is distant, looking on, just saying, get on with it. Sort it out. Lord, it's our mess. We're the rebellious ones, but we thank you that you still, to those who look to you, to those who trust you, provide comfort, encouragement, and strength. Help us, Lord, to, like Maggie, not to be ashamed to be associated with you and to know you as a presence, a reality in our lives. For we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't forget those booklets on the table. There's plenty of literature and DVDs if you want to know more. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Or how can we grow in our faith? We're going to sing our concluding hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. If you have a hymn book, it's number 746, if you've got a book. 746, Maggie's Choice, great hymn, Mags. Let's stand and we'll join in at the appropriate moment.